The greatest of all things is love. Love. What a four-letter word. The best, love. The greatest, says the Apostle Paul, agreed upon by the world's greatest thinkers, artists, and poets. The greatest is love. Love is best. The Bible book 1 Corinthians 13 is Paul's finest expressions of love by far. Read and read again those marvelous apostolic definitions of love. One of the meanings of this powerful force is spiritual devotion, a reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion such as is inspired by God's love for and in us. To really know what love is, says Paul, can only occur as a result of a meaningful, loving relationship with God. The longer, the deeper the relationship, the more the meaning of love becomes clear. Love is good. In fact, good is defined by love. For no mere mortal can do good without love. One may intend to live right, perhaps following the Ten Commandments and other great moral precepts, but mere intention, the act of the will, is not enough, for it lacks the energy, the conviction, the power of love to do good. There really is no definition of love, that is no simple one. Words like affection, attachment, emotion, even ultimate feelings are seemingly inadequate. So Paul says, let's begin by defining love as patient. Patient. Love is long-suffering because love is eternal. We live in a world fundamentally impatient, type A, a world of pressure and intensity. Life as it is in the 20th century and the people who live that life cause us to be impatient and frustrated and even angry at times. But if one loves and lives by the power of love, one, says Paul, is patient by definition. That is, no matter the circumstances, one is patient because patience is inherent, a spiritual genetic component of one who knows love. Then Paul says love is kind, love is gentle, love is easy, it avoids meaningless confrontation and struggle. Love thinks on those things which are good in gentle ways. Avoid strife, do you do that? Avoid strife and is slow to anger, how about that one? Our world is hard, feisty, and confrontational, so often without love. It talks about love. It tries to indicate that it cares about love, but it really knows so very little about real love. But love at work is the antidote to harsh things in life. That easy love soothes. It strokes. It forces its way into the heart, and it opens it. Love replaces the harsh with hugs. It cares about others first and about the things of God even more. There is no such thing as gentle or kind without love. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Boy, we sure do that in our society, don't we? Love is not self-seeking. The natural man without love, however, is selfish and self-centered and egotistical. He can't help himself without love. A loving person, on the other hand, is giving, open, caring. These standards are extremely high and virtually impossible for any human being to accomplish without, as Paul says, without the love of God. Love even allows us not to take account of the wrongs or evil done to us by others. Boy, that's a hard one, isn't it? Don't we all carry "I have been wronged" balance sheets? Love allows us to forgive and forget those very things, and only love can. Love even allows us to love an enemy, and that's probably the hardest thing in the world. An enemy, rather than to seek vengeance. Love allows us to move past righting wrongs. We can lovingly forgive, even as a loving God forgave us. Love rejoices when right and truth prevail. Real love is straight, a kind of tough love structured by what is right and true. Love deals with problems in the present and deals with them straightforwardly as truth would have it. It doesn't let things go and then come back with a vengeance. It deals with them here and now. But love can discipline and correct in truth. And that's a necessary function of love, that so-called tough love. But love can make that happen without hurting. hurting too much the other person. True love never compromises. Ah, how wonderful and joyful it is to lovingly live in truth at all times. For to know the truth of love is to be set free, and it allows us to live a life rejoicing and praising. There is no better life than that, the life of love. And love protects and defends. It guards the hearts and the minds of the young. It trains up children in the way in which they should go. It shows them the way of the Lord, the path of righteousness. Ah, how necessary that is today. Love protects and defends home and family. Love guards against false prophets and the lie. Love tolerates no evil, only the good. Only the good. It is so critically important, my fellow Americans, fathers and mothers, that we train up our children today in the way of love, the love of God. Love is loyal, says Paul. Love is trustworthy and trusting. Love makes character predictable and reliable and steady and dependable, rare traits today. Love produces bonds unbroken, full trust unto death. Trust is a rare commodity in our society, and we can only have such a thing through love and the love of God. Real love, says Paul, always hopes for the best, especially the best in others. That's another hard thing to do, no matter the evil or the inconsistencies in others, and that makes it even more difficult, or the uncertainties in life. Hope for the good is always love's objective, always. Love, real love, is contagious. It's contagious. It spreads, it influences, it impacts. If you love and show that love to another, nothing can impact that life more. In the presence of love, real love, others participate. They participate. Barriers are broken down, and they will share and begin to feel that real love if you share it. Love at work creates belief that all things will work together for good for those who love each other, and especially those who love God. And that, says Paul, is an absolute truth. It's absolute, unconditional, for love never fails. Repeat, love, real love, never fails. It endures now and for all eternity. It overcomes the greatest evils in this world, which combined, can never destroy love. Ah, there's so much hatred in our world, so much violence, killing, and death, so much evil at work. The remedy, the antidote, is not war, it's not guns, it's love. But the Apostle Paul, in his great treatise in 1 Corinthians 13, please read that. You should read it every day. It's such a blessing. Paul tells us again in 1 Corinthians 13 what love is not. What love is not. Paul tells us that love is not talk, no matter how eloquent. Words are not love and may not even convey love. They may have difficulty communicating or defining love, no matter how eloquent the tongue. Even the language of angels, even the words, I love you, those words are like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, hollow and meaningless without real love. Even, says Paul, if words are those of the angels themselves, how about that? They are worthless. They are worthless, of no value without love. And Paul says that even the gift of prophecy, knowing the future, discerning the divine will and purpose without love, all of that means nothing. Even moving mountains with all power and energy means nothing without love. One cannot even give to the poor and find blessing without love. One cannot even be willing to die, offer a body to be burned, or lay down a life for another without love. For all such acts, no matter how charitable and how good in the eyes of mankind, are meaningless without love. Meaningless. Boy, that's an ultimate condemnation of all things without love. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians that love is not envious. Love is not jealous of others, what they are or what they have, not jealous. Love desires the best for everyone. Love rejoices when the best things happen to other people. Love never craves or lusts. It is content, no matter the circumstances. And love is not controlling, says Paul. It lets go. It never holds on. Love never demands and always reasons with an open heart. Love is never possessive. Are you possessive? Are you a controller? Paul says, you can't be a controller if you are a lover. Love is always ready to share, to give, and to understand. It has the other always in mind, in love. And love never boasts or brags. Aren't we all so good at that? Directly or indirectly, we all like to talk about ourselves and what we've done. But love is not proud or puffed up. Love has no ego. Love cares little for power or fame or possessions. Love is in the doing, for by their loving fruits we shall know them. Love wishes to be known and loved by God and not man. That's a critical distinction, don't you think? Love reminds that it is not about me, but about him. Love, or so-called love, from mankind comes and goes, ebbs and flows. But the love of God is eternally consistent. And Paul says love does not behave unseemly. Good behavior. Love allows one to live modestly, humbly, and joyfully. Love builds and sustains character. Love has its own rules and standards, instinctive, even genetic, which control and directs behavior instinctively. By their fruits, by their actions, it is easy to know one who loves. Easy. You can sense it. And love is not easily angered, says Paul. Oh, boy, do we have hot tempers today, do we not? Seemingly everywhere. Everyone's ready to explode. Everyone is so overly sensitive and protective. Not that one never gets angry. That's not what Paul is saying. We do. And sometimes there is righteous anger, which is justified. But that anger is slow to wrath. Slow, slow to wrath. No tempers, no rages. Life cannot be lived on the defense with emotional explosions. Can't do it. Love calls for rational and reasonable responses and reactions. For a fiery tongue does nothing but damage. Repeat, a fiery tongue does nothing but damage. When one is possessed, consumed by love, that loving person cannot be easily provoked. You just can't be. Anger, even righteous anger, does very little good. Very, very little good. And perhaps so very importantly, Paul reminds us that love does not keep any record of wrongs. No memory. Forgetting those things which went before. But we the humans have such long memories, do we not? Especially when things go wrong. When we are wronged, it's so hard to forget. We may in some sense forgive, but it is so very difficult to forget. But love, says Paul, keeps no record. No record of those wrongs. Love has no balance sheet, no good and bad, no list of spiritual assets and liabilities. Love won't allow that. Love is owed nothing for all it gives, even for major acts of forgiveness. Owed nothing. Love requires no payback or contribution for any harm done, no matter the wrong. Love truly forgets and presses on for only the good things in life. Love holds no grudges, none whatsoever. There is no get-even factor. No get-even factor. Don't we all have that? No aggression. Nothing defensive about real love at work. Real love allows anyone to love an enemy. I'm not sure I really understand that. Even the worst of them, no matter the wrong, so says Paul. Love allows us to do good to those who persecute us, defame us, slander and abuse us. That, all of that, is real love. How easy it is to throw up one's hands and say, well, it's impossible, all of it. It's just plain impossible. It's way too much. I can't make that happen. And perhaps all such things are impossible at the human level. That is, without the love of God at work in a life. We are told that God is love. And the more of that love of God in our lives and in our hearts, the more we can live by love and in love. You and I, says Paul, we see things imperfectly. You know, like that image in a mirror. We see things imperfectly. We now understand imperfectly, but someday we will know when we see the source of all love, face to face. Do you believe that? Do you believe that one day you will see God face to face? And then we shall know that perfect love which passes all understanding, to stand in the holy presence, the source of all love, is to know completely. What a day that will be. Love is a process, as is learning to love here and now. But love will be fully completed in the dawn of that eternal day. Praise the Lord. And finally, Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 13, please read it over and over again. 1 Corinthians 13, that there are three great things in life. Three. The very best of all things in this life, and they are faith and hope and love. No matter how important faith is, and it surely is, that is, the conviction and belief with respect to man's relationship to God and divine things, love is greater. Love is greater than faith. And no matter how strong the force of hope, the joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation, and as important as that is, and it is, love is even greater. The greatest of all things is love. Love, that is, true affection for God and then for man. Affection growing out of God's love for and in us. Praise the Lord. The greatest of all things is love, because love never fails.